We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Amen.
How are you this morning, sister?
Blessed and highly flavored with favor. Isn't that what you say?
Amen. Yes.
I love it.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we have started getting them loaded onto the website.
Amen.
I got the nod from Tina, so that's a good.
That's good.
If you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of May, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. I don't know why I put the book over there, Miss Tina. Seeing beyond. Sorry, y'all.
Oh.
Seeing beyond. Choosing to look past the horizon, Gail McWilliams.
Amen.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
I love
and
Zig
a foreword. Foreword by Zig Ziglar. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more, they make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. We all. I think I covered
Woo-hoo!
It all.
Praise God.
Would you please pray to start us out this morning?
I'd love to. Father, we are so thankful to be here this morning. Father, we are so grateful just to belong to you. Father, we thank you for loving us, calling us out of the darkness and into the light. And God, we thank you for seating us in this house today, putting us in this place, Father, where we can just delve into your word and receive today the truth that sets us free. And Father, as we come in here, we just want to give you space. Father, we just say, have your way today. We give you space. This is your time and your word. And God, we don't want to miss what you want to say to us today. And so God, I just, right now in the name of Jesus, I break off all familiarity that we have with the word of God. I break it off in Jesus' name. That thing that would cause us to check out when the word is going forth, we break that off of every person in Jesus' name. Father, bring us to the table with the fresh bread today. Father, that we would be able to partake and eat what you have today. Father, we're leaning on you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one who is leading us into all truth. And today, Holy Spirit, we just give you your way. Lead us in the truth today. Father, I just ask right now that every ear, every eye, and every heart be open to receive today what you want to say, that we would understand your word today. Bring the revelational truth today. Father, hide me that I might not speak on my own authority, but Father, that you would come and say what you want to say, and I'll say what you say and do what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I like your title, The Conversation That Changed the World.
I like it too. You know, it's like, I mean, living with the Holy Spirit is like living on the edge.
It's like, you know, it's like being on one of the scariest,
yes,
most awesome, whirly whirl.
Yes.
Roller coasters.
That's right. And you know, I just went on roller coasters last week. I love roller coasters.
Me too.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Throw your hands up. You're buckled in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Enjoy the ride. Yeah. So, you know, basically I was just seeking the Lord because I always, when I come, I'm always wanting to hear what the Lord wants to say. And praise God. I sometimes get overwhelmed because you got so much on your plate. Mm-hmm. And I could preach anything because, we, you know, as pastors, you have so many messages you could give. But I say, Lord, what is the word you have for today? And he gave me a word I've not preached yet. It's a word he's just putting in my spirit. And so it's not put together, Monica, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can do that. And so today, that's what he said to me. So I was enjoying the message or the title just as much because it was from the Holy Spirit. I say, okay, I'm ready with you. I'm ready to go, Holy Spirit. So the message that he wants to talk to us today about is our conversations. And one, let me say this. One, all of sin's effects in the world came from one little conversation that dishonored Eve's creator. One conversation. So everything that we're going through in life right now came from one conversation that dishonored God. Okay? So when we take our conversation so casually, we don't think much about conversation. But I want to ask this. What conversations did you have yesterday? Did your conversations, I'm learning to ask myself this. I'm learning to really reflect every day. I'm learning to really just almost, you know how like football players, they come in and they review their tape of the game. It's like the Lord is teaching me to just sit down and really review. I want to be someone we're in training. Let me say it that way. So when you're in training, you do need to sit down and review the tape, okay? You do need to go over and reflect and ask the coach, right? Ask the father, hey, where did I miss it? Where did I hit the target? How can I do it and do it more effectively, God? What is it that I need to learn from this? So just at the end of the day, I've just been saying, Lord, what did my conversations reflect today? Let me ask you this. When you think about your conversations yesterday, I want you to take time later today to really reflect on this, but just to ask God, look at your conversations and say, did my conversations further the kingdom of darkness or did they further the kingdom of God? Okay. Did my conversations advance the agenda of Satan or did they advance the agenda of God? And so when I'm really stopping and thinking about this, it's changing my life. And so when we really, I want to just say right off the top that much of the teaching that's coming forth today comes from a pastor. His name is Kenan Bridges, okay? I think I'm saying that right. I don't know him personally. But he's authored many books. He's a pastor. And right now, one of the books that we're really kind of this message is coming from is from a book called Unmasking the Accuser. I never really ever promote books, you know, in that sense. But this one is one that I believe that every leader should have. And I believe that every church should have it. I believe that we should get it to every person in the church, okay? Our church is going to do a study, a Bible study over the teachings out of this book. And so today I'm going to bring to you kind of what the Lord has put in my spirit, what God has been speaking to me about, because I believe in this hour, and Sister Monica was talking about this earlier, the Lord gave her a warning, and I know she can't go into all that and everything, but we are in a day and hour when the Bible says things will evil will wax worse and worse, okay? But we know that the enemy has an agenda, okay? And one of the things he loves to do is divide the body of Christ, okay? I don't know the statistics on this, but I'd like to find them out. So if somebody knows them, shoot them to Monica so she can shoot them to me, okay? But I believe the statistics for division in the church are super high. And I believe that the main cause of it is conversations that further and advance the agenda of Satan and further the kingdom of darkness. I believe it comes from slander and accusation, okay? I believe that if we'll really dig deep in this, we're going to find that most of everything that causes division, whether it's in the household of God or in our homes or in our businesses, it comes from conversations where the enemy came in and he came in to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're not aware of it. And we just think it doesn't matter. We're not thinking about who's speaking to us, who's in our ear, what is coming forth, what are we receiving, what's coming out. And if we're not aware of these things, we will absolutely be destroyed. But not only that, the body of Christ is being weakened. And it's no surprise to me, because as evil waxes worse and worse, God wants us separated so that we know that there, if you want to say it, there's power in numbers, right? We know that God calls us to be together. We know that sheep, for example, must stay together, okay? A lone sheep is in grave danger. But when you're with the flock, you're protected. When there's a shepherd, you're even more protected. And so you can see why in this season, in this this time of history, the enemy is working to not only devour the flock, but he's really trying to drive the sheep away from shepherds. Okay? Can you understand that? Because we buy this lie that we have the great shepherd and that's all we need. No, that's not true. Then we're saying that God didn't know what he was doing when he set a pastor over a flock. God said that they're under shepherds and they're for a purpose, but the enemy's trying to devour the body. So he's got to pull the sheep away from the shepherd first. Secondly, he's got to break the sheep apart. He's got to cause them to pull away from each other so that they are separated and they are lone rangers, if you want to say it. They're off by themselves so that they are easily devoured, okay? So I believe that God is calling us to be very much aware of the accuser who's in the midst of even the congregation. Let me say it this way. The Lord said it to me this way. He said, Tammy, when you are standing in the house of the Lord, and he said someone is speaking to you, and they are speaking slander, gossip, accusations, they are saying something about another person, he said, Tammy, you can know right then and there, the accuser of the brethren is standing right in front of your face. Now, it's not that person. I want you to know that person is my brother or my sister that has come under the influence of the enemy and is furthering the agenda, furthering the kingdom of darkness, and they don't even know they've been used for that. I've been used for it. You've been used for it. Not a soul on the earth hasn't been used to further the wrong agenda, to further the wrong kingdom. Amen? So this is not against any one person. This is to say, hey, God, I want to really dig deep and see where I'm at. God, I want to walk in the right place, because it was one little conversation that changed the world. Everything we see. Okay, let me say, Eve's family was hurt by this, her children, so much so that murder entered in and began, took one of her own children. As a mother, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much we think Cain was in the wrong and he was, getting what he deserved, whatever. That was a mother who had a son who did a wrong thing. And she watched one of her own children die because of it. A mother is not picking sides. A mother is literally torn when any one of her children are taking a wrong way, when any one of her children have been wounded. And so her children were affected. Her marriage was affected. All of humanity was affected. There was probably a point that came down the line that she really regretted the conversation she ever entered into with the devil. I mean, can you even imagine? Sometimes I have a conversation that I spend days weeping over, and I go, I shouldn't have talked about that, and I'm all upset. And can you imagine what Eve was under? Because it was one conversation that changed the world. So let's just jump right into it. Let's look at. I want to first look at James 3. I want to look at James 3, 10 through 11. This passage was on my heart this morning. James 3, 10 and 11, it says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Now, you can go back in here. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I mean, it's powerful. It talks about how the tongue can be the one that can cause an entire ship to turn, okay? The words that come out of our mouth can turn a person in a direction that is opposite from what God intended for them. Someone else's words can cause me to shift and turn in such a way that I go in the wrong direction. That's the power of words, okay? We know the word says life and death are in the power of the tongue, amen? So there is power in that. But when we think about that, James says that sweet water and bitter water can't come out of the same fountain. Now, I was always, like, confused because I was like, well, but I'm like, I'm one fountain, you know? Like, how can, you know, what is he saying here? But the Lord spoke to me and he said, Tammy, there's two fountains. There's two fountains that operate from you. There's the fountain of the flesh and the fountain of the spirit. So he said, you can tell which fountain's flowing, what's flowing out of you, what fountain is being, is releasing that day based on whatever is coming out. Because when it is evil, when it is not of God, it came out of the fountain of flesh. And when it is of God, it came out of the fountain of the spirit. So you and I have the power to release from one or two fountains. Now, the Bible says we're to crucify the deeds of the flesh, right? So we know that our flesh has been put to death with Christ on the cross, but it's up to you and I to put that thing to death because it still constantly wants to rise up. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 3. I want to just jump into this. I'm telling you, this was life-changing for me. I'm telling you, I think it was the first page of this book, Monica, and I was like, my life's changed. My life's changed, okay? I'm never going to be the same. Why? Because the accuser of the brethren has been unmasked in my life. I recognize him now, and I'm aware, and I'm staying very much aware. So today, I believe the Lord is going to begin to open up our eyes to the accuser of the brethren, okay? And how we're to deal with this. Okay, look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so that's the passage we're going to really operate off today. We're going to flow from today. Let me say this. I want to talk a little bit about what the word serpent means here. Okay. Blew my mind. Okay. The word serpent is a Hebrew word, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's called Nahash. Okay. Now, I want you to understand this word can also mean divination. It's witchcraft. Okay. The serpent, okay. The word serpent actually is a form of bewitchment. It's a form of witchcraft. And how did the serpent deal with Eve? He came and spoke to her. So the serpent comes to hiss divination to you and I, okay? I want you to understand when he's speaking to us, he's speaking witchcraft. Now, we know witchcraft is, there is a pull in that. There's a almost like if you want to say enchantment. There is a spell. You know, like when we think about it, we talk about a spell being cast over you. Have you ever been in a conversation? Let me say it this way: have you ever been in a conversation with someone that you feel pulled into, and all of a sudden you say things, and you walk away, and you go, "What just happened?" Like, I don't talk like that. I don't say those things. I do not know where that came from. Like, that is not me. You see, have you ever been in a conversation like that? That when you walked away, you're like, I don't know why I opened my mouth and said those things. Like, what was I thinking? I have been there before, and I believe it's connected to witchcraft. I really do. But I believe if we're aware of it, the name of Jesus is greater than the power of Satan, amen? No amount of witchcraft has any power over me, but I must understand what's happening. I must understand when the influencer, the enemy comes to influence me in the wrong direction. When he comes to cast a spell over me, I better be aware. And if I'm aware, glory to God, I can take the name of Jesus and shut that thing down. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to think about this. Jesus encountered Satan in the wilderness, right? He encountered him as well. I believe he was taking back the ground that Eve lost, amen? Because he came to set things right. But how did he deal with the enemy coming up against him? He shut him down with the word of God. He didn't mess around. He didn't even entertain. I want you to understand. Let's look here. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, okay? I want you to understand the enemy comes to say something. How is he going to say something? He says something to us in our own minds. I mean, constantly, you know, we go into church and everything seems to be good. And all of a sudden, well, they didn't ask me to pray today. You see, I don't know. They always ask Jerry to pray. I mean, what's so special about Jerry? Immediately, they like Jerry more. I'm not as much. I don't matter. You see, all of a sudden, the enemy, the serpent has come to speak divination to you. He's trying to get into you. And so he's speaking, and he's accusing the brethren right through you. All of a sudden, you find yourself saying, well, everybody loved Susie's cake. Nobody said nothing about my cake. All of a sudden, you're thinking these things. I don't think they want to be around me because I saw them. They were all in a group together and they were talking and then they got quiet when I came around. It was probably about me. You see what I'm saying? All these things are coming in because the serpent is accusing the brethren to you. He whispered in your ears accusations about someone else. You see, stop and think about all the accusations that come in your ear on a daily basis. But you and I are supposed to be aware of it. We're not supposed to be naive to the enemy and his tactics. So when those thoughts come, you and I are to take the word of God to them immediately. The word of God to them. Now, how can we do this if we don't know the word of God? That's the problem. I mean, seriously, sometimes we're in the midst of it. I've been pastoring for a while, and I've been walking with God for 20-some years. And I'm telling you, in the midst of that, sometimes I can't even find the word. I'm like, what's the word here? Okay, because I'm telling you, it is like a spell. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a pull. And all of a sudden, you find yourself just sucked into it and going down the drain with the enemy. And it's a ploy of the enemy. But he will not only come in through your mind, through your ear, okay? Our eyes and our gates are open doors. They are places, gates, if you'll say, that the enemy enters through, okay? So that's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Because what you hear comes into your mind. And what gets into your mind, what you entertain with the mind, gets into your heart. And what gets into the heart, the Bible says, comes out of the mouth. Okay, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, it also says that out of the heart flow the issues of life. The heart is a fountain that's going to send something forth. And I love one thing that this book explains. It says, listen, when you go to the movie theater, okay, and you watch a movie, it's up on the big screen. We see it. It is massive, right? It's up there on the screen for you to see. But that it's not coming from the screen. It's actually behind closed doors in a booth, okay? It's in another separate room that nobody else is going into. Woo! Can you get it? Nobody else is going into that room, okay? You're seeing something manifested on the screen. But really, it begins and comes from something in a hidden room that you're not allowed access into. See, I'm not allowed access into your heart. Only God gets into your heart, okay? And only what you allow in your heart gets in your heart. But I can't see what's in your heart. The only way I can see what's in your heart is when it is displayed on the screen for everyone to see. See, it has to be manifested in your life. That thing first was in a room that was hidden on a reel, in a little device, on a little reel that nobody could see. But at some point, because it was on that, it comes out and it flows out and is manifested on the screen. So the only way I'm going to know what's in your heart is by what you do and by what you say. that thing is hidden, okay? And sometimes we think that thing is, that stuff is hidden and nobody sees it. And I've thought, I don't know how many times, I mean, I'm telling you, it was a couple weekends ago, I thought something in me was dead. I thought it was dead and gone. And I was, that weekend, something was brought to light, and that thing came raring up. Oh my gosh, Monica, when I got done, I said, I didn't even know that was in there anymore. I mean, I got angry. I lashed out. I said, what is going on? But what had happened was I had allowed the serpent to come and whisper lies to me. He began to accuse the brethren, and something came up out of me, and I literally lashed out. And I was just so embarrassed and so ashamed that I had done that. But it's that simple, because I had entertained some thoughts that were lies. I had believed some things that were not true. I was entertaining in my mind something I should not have been entertaining. I was believing some people were doing some things that were manipulative and were contrived, and I was viewing them in a negative way. I actually joined forces with the kingdom of darkness. When I was supposed to be covering my brethren, I was accusing my brethren. We know the accuser goes up into the courtroom, and he accuses night and day the brethren before God, and I was, in a sense, sitting in the courtroom on his side. I was helping accuse the brethren. I was coming against them. See, we can do this, and this is not right in God's eyes. God said this is not okay. We are to love our brethren. We are to build them up. We are to believe the best about them. We are to go with them. We are to defend them. Amen? And so God is helping us come into this revelation so that we don't have to be a part of the kingdom of darkness destroying. It's like we're destroying the kingdom from within. Okay? The church is, if you want to say, imploding. She's destroying herself from within. We're not having to worry about all the outside forces, okay? Because we got enough of the evil inside, amen? And it needs to be eradicated. And the only way it can be eradicated is to let God get into the recesses of my heart and deal with what is in my heart. But let me say this. Don't be discouraged when things come to the surface. Don't be ashamed in the sense that after all that happened and I lashed out and everything, I could have went into a place of condemnation, where I just beat myself up and said, well, you know, I don't even know why I'm pastoring, because why would I pastor? Because I just, look what I just did. I was just used of the enemy. I can't believe I did that. I shouldn't be pastoring. I should just quit right now. That's the work of the devil. The reality is we are human and we make mistakes and we're not perfect. The perfect one is Jesus Christ. Amen. But if we will be humble, right, then we can come back and say, whoa, I really missed it there. Now, where did I miss it, God? God, forgive me. Help me to come out of this. You see, David fell into sin, right? But God was able to work with him. Why? Because he was willing to just humble himself, okay? He was willing to humble himself and come back. And so let me say this. God is going to allow us to be in places and in positions that will expose what is within our heart. Not to shame us, not to condemn us, but to free us. Okay, so that person that brought you to that place where you just you started showing what was in your heart, that person was used. Might have been used of the enemy, but God allowed it for your good. Okay, why? Because you can't see what's in your heart. We don't even know sometimes what's in our heart until something causes it to be pushed to the surface. God is so good; He won't let that junk stay in you. So just be free. Let God show you what's in there, and then just go to Him with it. God, why? I didn't know this was in me. God, help me deal with it, okay? So the accuser is coming, and he's coming to whisper in your mind, but he's also going to come, and he's going to speak through other people in your circle, the people around you. They're going to begin to whisper the lies of the enemy, and they don't even know they're being used, okay? So there's a conversation that we're not to enter into. Remember what Jesus did when he was dealing with Peter. Peter began to say, I can't remember offhand what he said, but Peter was talking to Jesus, and Jesus basically rebukes him. He says, get behind me, Satan. He said, for you're not savoring the things of God, but the things of Satan. And he said, get behind me. So he wasn't really dealing with Peter as much as he was dealing with Satan. He recognized that coming through Peter was the influence of Satan. Now, that doesn't mean Peter didn't love God and that Peter wasn't called of God and that Peter wasn't a believer. It just means that you and I can be influenced by the wrong one, okay? And so if we ever get to a place where we think, I'm not going to be influenced by that. No, you're wrong, because the enemy can come up if we are not on guard, have our armor on, ready at all times. He can influence any one of us. And Jesus knew that, and he rebuked that quickly. Why? Because it could not get into his ear. He said, if I receive that into my ear, Jesus knew, if I go ahead and receive what Peter is saying, what the enemy is saying through Peter, it can get into my mind, it can get into my heart, and it can come out of me and influence me, and I'll take a wrong way. And I won't be able to do the will of God in the earth. Amen? Now, let me say this. Let's jump in. Well, we're probably about time for a break. Let's go ahead. We'll take a prayer break, and then when we get back, please do not miss the rest of this, because I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Amen.